Thank you, Jesus. A reminder, there will be a reception from 4 to 6 this afternoon to recognize Jesus and spend some time in him. We're going to continue with our offering, and today's Change for Change, which is the second offering basket, is going to support our Benevolence Fund, which is a fund that's used for small or emergency unplanned for needs, both in the community and congregation. So any small or large change you could provide for that would be wonderful. Our offering scripture today is from Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. We'll invite the ushers forward now to receive our tithes and offerings.
Many of us feel we walk alone without a friend, never communicating with the one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never lets you down, and you can always talk to him anytime because he's always, always, always around. Should I say that again, or did you hear that, or should I repeat that?
One more time.
I'm going to preach it one more time because you got to hear it. As I said, many of us feel we walk alone without a friend, never communicating with the one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never lets you down, and you can always talk to him anytime because he's always around. And, Jesus said, find a quiet place and communicate with God. Well, okay, yes, I do that, but you can also find the loudest place in the world.
Come on.
And you can communicate with God all the time, anytime, anywhere. Okay, that's all I got to say.
Amen.
I'm gonna wait for you, Marshall. There are people who have let the problems of the day lead for them to conclude that for them life is not the way. But every problem has an answer, and if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over with him. He will give you peace of mind. If you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. If you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God.
There's a groove, my brother.
Many of us feel we walk alone without no friend, never communicating with that one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never, never lets you down. And you can talk with him anytime, he's always around. And if you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. Well, well. If you feel your life's too hard,
I want you to have a talk with God.
Lottie. da 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 dum dum la da 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 bum. Sa da 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 dum bum dum da cha da ba da dum.
He's the only psychiatrist that's known throughout the world, solving the problems of every man, woman, little boy, and little girl. If you feel your life's too hard, I want you to have a talk with God.
Well, well, if you feel your life's too hard,
just go
have a talk with God. Somebody say it again. When you feel you got no life, just go and have a talk with God. When your life's too much to bear, talk to God, He cares. Yes, it does, y'all. When you feel your life's too hard,
just go have a talk with God.
Well, well.
Yeah.
Say it again. Help me out here.
Continue with the work, Lord, to expand the gospel, to continue with the great commission to make disciples for Jesus Christ for transformation of the world.
Yeah.
And Lord, please give wisdom to our leadership, those who are administrating these gifts, Lord, to continue in this way, Lord. And bless those also who were not able to participate, Lord, and give them a job, Lord, also. Again, thank you so much for this time, and bless 100%, 200%, 300%, those who give these tithes and offer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please sit down.
Good morning. Are you tired of seeing me yet? This is three Sundays in a row for me. You know, you have to be careful what you ask for. When I made the transition from youth pastor, when I was decided to resign that position, I was in prayer about what I wanted to do next, and I thought, gee, it'd be nice to do some more preaching. Well, it's been three Sundays in a row, and I'm hoping I'm not wearing out my welcome or causing a mass exodus. So I want to thank our praise and worship team, everyone who helped lead worship today, and special thanks to Christopher Berg. Where did you do? Oh, there he is over there, our trumpeter extraordinaire, and Kingdom Road, of course. I was missing Dwight, but you all were in rare voice today. Thank you so much for ministering to us in music. And To Ann Bauer and to Bill McCloskey and Maria, thank you all so much to our greeters and ushers, our sound and PowerPoint technicians, everyone who helped bring this worship service together. Let's give them another hand praise. And now, brothers and sisters, I believe there is a word from the Lord. For the past three Sundays, we have been on a freedom tour, which is the title that we've given to our sermon series based on the New Testament book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Galatia is, to the churches in Galatia, I should say, is all about the freedom that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. We started this series three Sundays ago with the assurance that we are free to change, taken from the first chapter of Galatians, where Paul speaks of his conversion on the Damascus Road when he went from being a rabid persecutor of Christians to becoming a radical apostle for Christ. And then 2 weeks ago, we proclaimed that we are free from the law, as it says in Galatians 2 and 16, and we have come to believe. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing works of the law, because no one will be justified by doing works of the law. And then last week we considered the topic, free to trust, taking our message from Galatians 3 and 28, where it says, there's no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, and there's no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. We extended an invitation then, and we repeat the invitation now to all of you to join Reverend Healy and me in reading Galatians during this preaching series, which will conclude next Sunday. So it's not too late. If you haven't read through Galatians, you still got time. It's a short but rich book that is full of wisdom and meaning for our contemporary lives. It's a powerful experience when a congregation reads a word together. So I invite you to join us. We've also adopted a theme song, Marshall. That's all right, I'm just playing. Not yet. We've adopted a theme song, which we will sing at the conclusion when I have finished the message today. And our theme song has been Break Every Chain. Break Every Chain, and it's a wonderful way to visualize and to auditorily get in touch with this theme of freedom on our freedom tour. Our scripture today is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 18. You can read along with me from the Bible that you have brought with you, or from the Bible in the pews in front of you, or perhaps it's on your smartphone. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 18. When you found the scripture, say, word. If you need a little more time, say, wait for me. Oh, wow, we are ready to go. I guess I better find the word myself. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. We're going to do verses 6 through 10, not 18. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. From the passage that we have read, we would tack on the title, Free to Give. Free to Give. Pray with me, please. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Join me. Jesus, 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 let all heaven, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, kings and kingdoms, may all fade away, may all fade away, but there's something about that. Jesus, eternal God, the moment of preaching has come. Anoint your servant at this time that I may preach the word you have put on my heart with boldness, humility, clarity, and insight, passion and power, fervor and flow. Remove from me everything that is not of you, and from the sanctuary, remove every hindrance to your presence that I may speak and your people may hear a life-giving, uplifting, way-making word. This is my prayer, and all who agree before the Lord say together, amen and amen. Free to give. Free to give. On June 23rd, this past Thursday, I observed my birthday. And thank you. And it was a milestone. I turned 65. Now would be a good time for somebody to say, no, you don't look a day over 64. Really? I'd even settle for mock sincerity on that. So to celebrate the occasion, my wife, Sharon, took me out to dinner after I worked all day. To a wonderful little restaurant on Mears Park in St. Paul, where coincidentally the Twin Cities Jazz Festival was underway. I love jazz, and the restaurant was terrific, so it was a great evening. And then the following day, on Friday night, a bunch of friends and family members just happened to be in the neighborhood and dropped by at the same time that Sharon coincidentally just happened to have prepared a bunch of food and drink. Wasn't a surprise party, Sharon assured me, because she knows I detest surprises. It's just a happy coincidence. We celebrated late into the night. I didn't climb in bed until around 10, 10:30. Hey, I told you, I'm 65. I got to get my 8 hours. Looking back on both nights, it occurred to me how truly blessed I am to have people in my life who love me and who want the best for me, who are invested in my happiness. But I was also struck by how dependent I am, how needy I am for their friendship, from which I derive support and encouragement, companionship, accountability, and perhaps most importantly, a sense of belonging. This revelation came as something of a surprise to me because, like most independent adults, I like to think of myself as fairly self-sufficient, more of a giver than a taker, and certainly not needy or dependent. If you were to ask me what kind of brother I am to my siblings or what kind of cousin or uncle I am to the members of my family, I'd rate myself pretty highly. Same would be true of how I rate myself as a friend. But all of that self-puffery is tied to my belief that I'm good because I give. I give my time, my advice, my companionship, my encouragement, my support, and my possessions. I'm a giver. That's me. But here I stand, and there I stood on my birthday in the midst of a community of others to whom I was and am beholden to meet so many of my basic needs. Turns out I'm a taker. That's me too. A giver and a taker, both needed and needy. The Apostle Paul gets at this in the scripture we read today. Let me read Eugene Peterson's translation of these verses. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you generously enter into a common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person sows, that is exactly what he reaps. The person who sows selfishly, ignoring the needs of others and of God, reaps a crop of corruption. But the one who sows in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, that person reaps a crop of real life. So let's not allow ourselves to be fatigued in doing good. At the right time, we will reap if we don't give up and quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in our community of faith. I want to make three observations about this text that I believe are speaking to this body of believers, this community of faith. First, we are free to live interdependently. Second, we are free to forego self-obsession. And third, we are free to focus on family and friends. Western culture esteems independence, and nowhere more so than in the United States, where the biggest and most important secular holiday arguably is what? Independence Day on the 4th of July. We celebrate the image of the rugged individual, the Marlboro man, the person who could stand alone and can handle their selves for themselves. We venerate singular achievement in arts, in entertainment, sports, and even in business. Our cultural idioms, the sayings that we have, admonish us to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Stand on your own two feet. Pull your own weight. And God bless the child that's got his own. No one, however, is truly or completely independent. We are all dependent, even the wealthy, who depend on advisors to guide their investments, lawyers to protect and prosecute their interests, guards to secure their safety, and domestic staff to accommodate their living needs. Even the wealthy are dependent upon others. The person that seeks independence often finds only loneliness. True freedom, you see, is not living independently. It's living in mutual interdependence with other human beings, a reciprocal relationship where we are sometimes giving help to another and sometimes receiving help from another. No one is always the giver or always the taker. The most gifted person at times must depend on others, and the neediest person at times has something to give. Y'all awfully quiet this morning. Just cough or something. Let me know you're still there. Jesus, you will recall. Jesus, who was the most perfect human being, lived interdependently with those around him. He fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes that he borrowed from a little boy. He depended on his disciples to fetch a borrowed donkey. He celebrated the Last Supper in a borrowed room. I mean, even in death, Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. He was interdependent with others. As followers of Christ, when we live selfishly, when we live selflessly as Christ lived for us and acknowledge our dependence on the beneficence, the goodness, the kindness of others, that is when we are truly free to give. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Freely give and freely receive. But it takes a certain spiritual and emotional maturity to do that. Freely give and freely receive. It begins with accepting that everyone has strengths and weaknesses, blessings and burdens. Obviously, some have more blessings than burdens, and some have more weaknesses than strengths. But the person with the heaviest burden can bless the person with the lightest burden and may bring exactly the blessing that that person needs at exactly the right time. The weakest person among us may have strength that no one else possesses, that may lift the hopes of the strongest. See, freedom to live interdependently means we are free from the arrogance of presumed superiority, which causes us to look past, to look over, to look down on the other. And it also means that we are free of the denunciation, the self-denunciation of presumed inferiority, which causes us to shrink away from others and not want to engage out of shame. The strong and the weak sustain each other. The blessed and the burdened are bound in mutual support. Blessings and burdens, however, are not evenly or equitably distributed. It goes without saying. But in Christ, there is no hierarchy of strengths or weaknesses. There is no claim of status or privilege based on what you have or don't have. Is this making sense to anybody? Listen, because we are free to live interdependently, we are also free to live selflessly and to give selflessly. We are mutually dependent, sometimes on the giving end, sometimes on the receiving end, and we know that we are free of the burden of looking after our salvation because we are justified by faith and not by the good works that we do. That means that we don't have to try to prove ourselves to God or worry about what other folks think of us. And that frees us to give selflessly. We can give whatever the need demands, no matter how low or demeaning or abased it may appear to somebody else. We are free to give according to the need and not bound by the approval or expectation of others. God's blessings are not, brothers and sisters, for our accumulation or hoarding. They are for our sharing and reinvestment. And that is how we live interdependently. Let's move on. The gospel releases us from the bondage of trying to be as an island unto ourselves and frees us to live as Christ, interdependent with those around us, free to give and receive without concern for the disapproval or judgment of others. But we can't do that if we are wrapped up in ourselves pursuing a self-obsessed, self-absorbed, self-centered agenda. Crickets. Y'all really got quiet when I said self-obsessed, self-absorbed. Okay. Not trying to step on any toes here. That's what Paul means when he warns that if you sow to your own flesh, he's talking about if you are self-centered, self-absorbed, you know, self-focused. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. Of course, nobody admits to being self-obsessed, but we all know somebody who fits that description, right? Don't just look straight ahead. Don't look over at your neighbor. Now, just look straight ahead here, all right? It's safer that way. You know the type: vain, conceited, oblivious to the value or worth of others, self-important. This person is the center of his or her own universe. But he doesn't see himself that way. He actually sees himself as merely maximizing his own potential. Or she sees herself as achieving self-actualization and looking out for number one. And what's wrong with that? But see, the problem is When we assign ourselves the top rating, we are explicitly relegating everyone else, including God, to subservient status, second place. If I'm number one, you got to be something other than number one, which means you are number two, three, four, five, or further down the list. We set ourselves up in opposition to the beloved community, and we see ourselves in competition with everyone else. The tragedy of this mindset is that the self-absorbed person is insulated from the blessing of mutuality. You can't get because you're not giving. And you are not truly free. You don't have to bother with giving, but you also can't benefit from the getting. Eugene Peterson says, the person wrapped up in himself makes a small package. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a small package. I want to be a big old bundle of blessing to the body of believers, a whopping wad of wonderfulness to the worshipful. Turn to the person on your right or left, look him or her in the eye, and say, I want to be a big bundle of blessing to the body of believers. Now turn to somebody else and say, I need you to be a whopping wad of wonderfulness to the worshipful. Yeah, we're not going to have no small packages here. No small packages. I'd rather be a great gross of goodness for God's gathered. There's nothing wrong with self-care or self-improvement or self-help in reasonable measure, but not in isolation of others. It is a short and slippery slope between self-love and self-centeredness. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. Selfishness is self-denial. When we hold ourselves back from the world or from the whole, we deny ourselves the benefits of reciprocity. But for the Christian, holding back from others is not an option, because not giving incarcerates the spirit. Let me say that again. Not giving, not sharing of ourselves, not engaging with the other puts our spirit in jail. The spirit. God's Holy Spirit is the relational aspect of the Godhead, of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in charge of relationship. It is the character of God that reaches out to comfort, counsel, and confirm. It's the same Spirit which reminds us that we too are called to be in relationship. That Spirit resides in us. And it calls us to be in relationship with God and each other, living out our faith in community. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. This is the promise of God. I don't want you to miss this, because as surely as sowing to the flesh reaps corruption, sowing to the Spirit reaps eternal life. Don't miss that. It's a promise. And we like to focus on the fact that the promise, God will not be mocked, which says God ain't playing around with this. God is all up in this. We like to focus on the bad part, you know, focusing on the flesh. But there's another side to this. God says that if you sow to the Spirit, if you do the things that I'm all about, you will have eternal life. You will have good life right here on earth. No waiting. Right now. You are free to give freely. So sow to the Spirit. You are free to act unselfishly. So sow to the Spirit. You are free to love your neighbor. So sow to the Spirit. You are free to love your enemy. Sow to the Spirit. You are free to comfort the afflicted. Sow to the Spirit. You are free to afflict the comfortable. Sow to the Spirit. And you are free to bear one another's burdens. Sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let's move on to our final point. We have said that in Christ, we may freely acknowledge and embrace our interdependence, giving and receiving by the grace of God. And we have understood that we are free to forego self-obsession in favor of fixation on the things of God and the needs of others. And our final point is that we are free to focus on friends and family. I didn't make that up. It's in the book. The scripture says, and you've heard it already, that whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. Who is the family of faith? Well, it's you and me. It's the folk in this worship community, our friends and family. I don't know about you, but when I first read this passage, it seemed a little xenophobic to me. You know, like it was putting a preference on helping or engaging with Christians above others. That didn't strike my sensibilities very well, and it seemed like it was contrary to Christ's radical message to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But then I took a closer look and realized that the commendation is to work for the good of all. The family of faith may receive a special shout out, but not to the exclusion of all. But there's another thing. Not everyone in the family of faith is a Christian. Oh, y'all didn't hear me this. See, yeah, okay, all right. You stand looking at your shoes now, all right. What I mean to say here is that there are folk in our church community, and probably in every church community, who have not confessed Christ. I'm not saying that to shock you, and I don't mean to imply judgment. It's just a fact. People come to church for a variety of reasons, for fellowship and community, because they have questions and search for answers, because they are hurting and seek comfort, and because the church offers respite and relief and hope. Confession of faith is not a prerequisite for attendance. We are called to confession, not compelled. So Paul's singling out the family of faith as the object of our good is more inclusive than just those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. But still, why should church folk be prioritized? It's like those random folks who get on my nerve at the airport. They just go past the long line and go through that TCA extra, you know, quick line. You know, you standing at the gate, been there for an hour and a half, and somebody comes in with their little platinum card, and they get to board the plane before everybody else. Should Christians receive the platinum priority? Well, I hate to argue with myself, but I don't think that's what this word is really saying. Actually, I do enjoy arguing with myself, so I'm just going to do it. Doing good takes effort. Good works encounter resistance. Media messaging and cultural norms tell us to reward ourselves, to comfort ourselves, to protect ourselves, to look out for ourselves. And there is a requirement of concerted effort to resist self-obsession. It is countercultural. It goes against the grain. Everything around us is telling us to take care of me. It's all about me. It's tiring to do good work. It wears at the soul. And there's also this great temptation that we have that we don't talk about a lot, but we like to reserve our help for the right moment or for the big, important need. You know, things like natural disaster or humanitarian crisis or debilitating disease or crushing debt or war relief. You know, those kinds of big things. We like to preserve or hold back our help for those things. So we wait and time it just right. It's easier to write a check than to negotiate a relationship. That's why Paul says, hang in there. Don't give up. The harvest is coming. And that's also why this word directs us to prioritize giving to those who are around us, because we are prone to quit or to pass or to wait on opportunities to serve others. But for most of us, it's harder to ignore need that is in our face and easier to say yes to someone you know. This word isn't proposing a preferential privilege, but it's providing a pathway to perseverance, a means for you and me to stay energized and to get your give on. So get your give on, Park Avenue. You are free. Act like you know. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody. You are free. Get your give on. The family of faith needs your help, and you need the family's help as well. Get your give on. Stop waiting to be asked. You're free. Get your give on. You need nothing more than a relationship. And a relationship begins by you reaching out your hand and opening up your arms and your heart. Get your give on. This is not a complicated prescription, brothers and sisters. You just need to get started. Get your give on. You don't need a natural disaster. The man-made mess is all around you. Get your give on. You're free. It's okay to support foreign relief. But what about the domestic dis-ease that's in our mess? Get your give on. You're free. I know you're weary and you're whipped from working for the good, but don't give up. You surely will reap a harvest of life-sustaining joy if you just get your give on. You've been burned, I know, rejected, yep, manipulated and taken advantage of. But don't let that stop you. You are interdependent with others. Get your give on. You are created and equipped to serve as Christ has served you. So we have no excuse, and we have every model of perfection of how to get our give on. John 13 and 34 says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. And by this, they will know that you are my disciples. Get your give on, Park Avenue. The needs are endless. The task is daunting. But you are free to live interdependently, to forego self-obsession, and to focus on your family and friends. Get your give on. Glory be to God, and amen. Amen. I want to open the altar, and some of us have been holding back. You know who you are. I know that I hold back on occasion, but not for the past 3 weeks. I've been okay on that. But maybe you've been holding back. Maybe your giftedness has not connected and has not found a place. Maybe you've been hoarding your blessings, thinking that they're going to run out, or thinking that you might need them at some point in the future. Don't hold back. Give. You are free to give. This life that we enjoy in Jesus Christ takes away the chains and the barriers. We are free to engage with one another without having to worry about what it looks like to somebody else. We don't need approval. We don't need permission. We don't have to be bound to this slavery of self-obsession. This altar is open. Perhaps you want to repent of that spirit in you. This altar is open. This is not a place of judgment. It's not for form, fashion, or show. Come as you are. The altar is open.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain,
to break
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
One more time.
There is freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom, freedom.
There is freedom in the name of Jesus.
Oh, there is freedom.
There is freedom
in the name of Jesus.
The power to break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain,
to break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.
Lord God, we come before you humble and broken, knowing that you are our resting place. Knowing that you charge us up and send us out after we have been in your presence, Lord, equipped to serve the world and to serve each other. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we confess that we have not been obedient to your call and to your spirit, that we have said no, but we are delighted and grateful that your yes is stronger than our no. We are delighted and grateful, Lord, that you are persistent, Lord, that you call us even when we walk away, that your arms are always open, that we may return to you, Lord. And so for those who have come and for all of us here, Lord, we ask that your spirit would be born anew in us, that we would take your new command and love one another, that their world would know that we are your disciples. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus and say together, amen. Please stand and for the benediction.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain,
to break every chain, to
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Jesus, Jesus.
Looking out at all of you, I'm going to miss you next week when I'm not in this pulpit. I've said it before, but it bears saying again, you look marvelous. Oh, share that with somebody. Tell somebody nearby, you look marvelous. It is such a blessing and a privilege to worship in this place, to look around this room and see people who are deliberate and hopeful about wanting to be in a worship community that doesn't look like me and that doesn't look like you, but looks like us. And so take that with you. Know that you are a blessing, that you've made a choice to worship in community in a way that I believe that God wants us to worship. Now hear these words. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. We can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. Go and bless the world. Amen.